Welcome back into Sports Talk, folks. Steve Gell along with Charlie Long, bringing it till 8 p.m. this evening. Got a ton to talk about. We just got through a bunch of recapping what happened at the Saints joint practice today against the Rams, gearing up for a preseason game on Saturday in SoFi Stadium. Right now, we're welcoming in Jeff Palermo, Louisiana Radio Network News and Sports Director, talking a little Tiger football. Jeff, man, how you been doing? What's been going on in Baton Rouge, man?
It's hot, just like it seems like where it is everywhere. But yeah, we're making it. We're getting closer here. Getting closer.
I'm curious how did today's practice feel compared to maybe things earlier in this week? Are still things ramping up right now, or things kind of looking like a game week work, or not yet?
No, not yet. They got one more scrimmage to go, and that's going to take place on Saturday. So they're not really getting into game prep. I think in that soundbite that you guys just played from Lane Kiffin, I thought he gave a pretty good summary of what it's looking like. It sounds like the defense is a little bit ahead of the offense, but Sam Levitt's looking really good. I found it kind of interesting that he snuck in that line in there about now we're looking for guys to make plays around him. I think they're still probably looking for some more consistency based on that out of the wide receiver position. And it also sounds like, and he talked a little bit about it as well after the scrimmage on Saturday, that Sam Levitt was facing some pressure from some of these pass rushers. Prince Will Umanmielen probably leading the charge when it comes to getting into the backfield. And today, Lane Kiffin really praised him for his ability to chase down quarterbacks. It's not just getting into the backfield. It's also about actually eventually getting to the mobile quarterback, and it sounds like he's been able to do that. So it does. It sounds like the defense is still a little bit ahead, but when he says that Sam Levitt has been awesome and made some big league throws today, especially some back shoulder throws, I think that's very promising. And I think it's to be expected that maybe the passing game shouldn't be in midseason form just yet, right? I mean, Sam Levitt he didn't participate in spring football, or at least didn't participate in the team drills. Now you're finally able to get it. It's not a player led practice. This is an actual practice. So these things take time, and that's exactly what was expected. That the offense it might take a little bit before this offense really gets humming.
Jeff, it's something that every time it feels like Lane Kiffin speaks about Sam Levitt, there's always praise coming out of his mouth.
And yeah,
specifically the last couple of weeks, ever since he's been a full go and returning from that offseason foot surgery, where Kiffin talked about it today, him not being able to really move coming off of that foot surgery and not really being able to participate in spring work was a detriment. But then seeing him in his full glory, so to speak, at fall camp has been awesome for this coaching staff. And it was like a little side note that he had thrown when he was answering a question about Charlie Weiss Jr., the offensive coordinator, that the past couple quarterbacks that they've worked with, like Jackson Dart, like Trinidad Chambliss, like have had fantastic seasons, and Charlie Weiss being a key part of that. He also had mentioned in there that they're expecting, Sam to have a pretty big season himself. And based off of the praise that Coach Kiffin continues to heap on his QB1, that wouldn't be a big shock.
No, it wouldn't be. And, when you ask, any media member that's covering practice right now, you just don't see a ton, right? I mean, you see Levitt launch some deep balls. They run some different routes, but there's no pressure on him. There's not a defender on the receiver. Or, this is just during the portion that media is allowed to see. I'm sure fans have watched all the video. So it's hard sometimes to kind of get an idea of just how things are really truly going, because you're not watching any pressure. You're not seeing Sam Levitt having to try to dissect what the defense might be doing, all these other kind of things, or the offensive lines involved. None of that is involved. But here's what we do know, is that the last couple of seasons, as you just mentioned, the combination of a Lane Kiffin and an offensive coordinator in Charlie Weiss, and whether it's been Jackson Dart or whether it's been Trinidad Chambliss, those have been very prolific offenses. And now you throw in Sam Levitt in there, and even though this Sam Levitt's new and he's just started, full go practice, you still have a belief that that this offense could be really good, because we've seen it already. And Lane talked about it, I think it was on Monday, You know, it's been now, this would be the third season where you've had the radio communication. You know, it's been in the NFL for a long time where the offensive coordinator or the head coach or whoever it may be is able to relay the play to the quarterback through radio communication with the speaker in the helmet. Well, that's only been around in college football for only two seasons. And during those two seasons, Ole Miss had some, obviously put up a bunch of points, had a lot of passing yards, had a lot of total yards and all of that. And Lane talked about how a lot of that is it's because the offense moves so fast, the play gets in so fast, and then once they get the play in, Charlie Weiss has an opportunity to then just remind the quarterback of a few things. Hey, look out for this, or do this, do that, until that radio communication shuts off at the 15-second mark when the play clock's going off. So I think they feel like they're a step ahead of a lot of offenses because this is an offense that does move so quickly, and Charlie Weiss is an outstanding play caller.
Jeff, I feel like I'm hearing a lot about Trey Wilson working with Levitt. People are putting him in that same conversation as Jace Brown. What are you seeing from him, and how crowded is that wide receiver room still looking?
Well, you would think that Trey Wilson would be a guy that should have success in this offense. I mean, this is a five-star prospect that injuries have slowed him down, and as long as this guy could stay healthy, he should have a significant – he should have a big season. And, yeah, Jace Brown is the guy that's put up the numbers so far at Kansas State. You got Jackson Harris in there. You got – Winston Watkins. I mean, I think those four guys right there, but it seems like Trey Wilson is a guy that is certainly probably made the biggest strides. I think that would be a good question to maybe probably ask Charlie Weiss tomorrow when he speaks with the media out of these wide receiver groups, out of what we're seeing out of the wide receivers. I think Malik Elzey is another guy that's going to be a part of this. You're going to see a lot of him just because of his size. You're talking about a guy that's 6'2", 215 pounds. He's a transfer from Illinois. And, of course, Tre'Davious Green is in there as well. So when you're looking at, you know, Lane has brought it up, you're looking for 4 to 6 pass catchers, and I would throw Tre'Davious Green in there. So you're looking at Jace Brown, you're looking at Trey Brown, Jackson Harris, Winnie Watkins, and then Malik Elzey. And then, who knows? Maybe there's still the opportunity for a guy like Phillip Wright or somebody else to potentially be involved in that as well as the season goes along. There could be some attrition with injuries and that kind of stuff. Trey Brown is another guy, an experienced receiver from Old Dominion that could potentially factor into the season. But it seemed pretty early on they had a good idea of who the guys that they were really going to count on at that wide receiver position. But someone like Trey Wilson should be someone, to me, that I think by the end of the season, he should be one of the top three pass catchers on this team, in my mind. You know, with Tre'Davious Green, Jace Brown, and Eugene Wilson, Trey Wilson, he should be right in there. And, you know, Jackson Harris is also a part of that as well.
Jeff, one of the things I thought was really fascinating from today's media availability was when – you know, Coach Kiffin was asked about the defensive tackle spot and specifically a couple veteran pieces, because we've heard countless times about, you know, the young players coming up, the Richard Andersons, the Deuce Geralds, and how they've been flashing throughout fall camp. They've been working through, you know, the freshman mistakes and fighting the freshman wall, as Blake Baker kind of put it. But he was asked earlier today about Dominic McKinley, a former five-star from Acadiana entering his junior campaign. He was asked about Stephylan Green, a transfer from Clemson. You know, some of the older pieces on the interior defensive line, and specifically with McKinley, that, you know, after kind of a poor spring, he's really kind of taken a step in the fall and kind of answered the challenge that the coaching staff presented him with that, you know, once again, poor showing that he had during the spring workouts. Because this is a very talented guy that hasn't broken out yet. And just your thoughts, you know, on the interior defensive line, the spot that Coach Kiffin said is still of one of concern maybe, but, you know, if these veteran players step up and kind of lessen the need for these young guys to play so many snaps right off the bat, I think that'd be really big for this team.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And I thought what he said about Dominic McKinley might have been one of the best things he said today, because, you know, it's great that he talks glowingly about Sam Levitt or Prince Will Umamiel, and I think those are guys that you anticipate being big-time players on this team. But I think I wrote a story for WWL.com right at the beginning of camp and identified five players that I thought really needed to have big seasons for this team to potentially win 10 games and get into the college football playoffs. And Dominic McKinley was one of those guys because it's right there for him. You're talking about a five-star prospect. You're talking about a Louisiana kid. You're obviously excited about these freshmen. You're excited about Deuce Gerald. You're excited about Richard Anderson. But Anderson's a five-star prospect now, but McKinley was a couple years ago, as you mentioned, at Acadiana. So this should be a time for this guy, and he's gotten playing time. He played a decent amount of snaps last season. This is the year where this guy should really put it all together and become close to a dominant defensive tackle. And at the start of camp, when we were watching those team pursuit drills and trying to gauge who is first string, who's second string, and who's third string, and you watch Dominic McKinley go out there with the third team, you're like, what's going on here? But I thought that was really great what Lane Kiffin has said about how much he has matured, how much he has gotten better. It seems like a fire has been lit with this kid. I think he probably understands as well. It's my time here. And, yes, a lot has been made about Deuce Gerald and Richard Anderson running with the first team. But I think in the end, it is going to be what we were talking with the wide receivers, where you want, five to six pass catchers. I think you want five defensive tackles there to kind of share the snaps. And I think they have the guys to potentially do that with Gerald, Anderson, Dominic McKinley, Steph Green, and then Malik Blockton, the transfer from Auburn. You would think with between those five guys, you should get some decent play at that defensive tackle position this season.
Jeff, sticking on that defense, I saw that Lamar Brown wasn't out there today. How significant is his injury, and how does that affect in the defensive end rotation?
Yeah, we haven't heard much on that one yet. And if you want to talk about, I think, an area, position of concern, I think it is backing up the defensive end position because Jordan Ross has also been banged up. I mean, Ross and Princewell Amon-Miellen are going to be your starters, or that's what you would imagine. Dylan Carpenter continues to make strides. This is a kid that's wasn't really thought much of as far as when he came to LSU, and every year he's played a little bit more. And I know Blake Baker had some really glowing things to say about him, but not having Damian Shanklin out there, Gabriel Relford suffered the season ending injury last spring. So that's why when you get this ruling yesterday, that could potentially pave the way for Jack Pyburn to come back,
right,
and play for LSU next season. That's really intriguing because they could really use some depth at that defensive end position. So I don't know if that's really going to happen. I think Pyburn is probably more focused on trying to make the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at this point. And it's not something you count on, but I would think, and even Lane kind of said something today about, he was first directly asked about the ruling that cleared the path for these 16 college football players to get in the transfer portal and figure out where they might want to play this season. But he didn't want to really comment about it, talked about it. There's a lot of layers there. Didn't really want to get into it, but he did make a comment later on in the press conference where he said, normally – your team is set. This is who you have, but this year it is different. They could add a piece here or there to help provide some depth on this team in areas where they think they might need it. And I think defensive end is probably a position that they certainly would look at. And when you look at a guy like Lamar Brown, yes, he's at defensive end now. I think a lot of people would probably reject him before it's all said and done that he might be more of a defensive tackle. But he certainly, if he's healthy this season, he's going to get some time there at defensive end.
TJ Dottery, Jeff, got to speak to the media today after Lane Kiffin's availability. It was him and Bo Bordelon, but who has also got a ton of praise this offseason. But specifically Dottery, I mean, we heard Blake Baker say it last week about the benefits of having two senior linebackers that can really command a room, command leadership from the defense as a whole in Whit Weeks and TJ Dottery. Just what you've seen from Dottery since coming over from Ole Miss. I mean, once again, Coach Baker really highlighted the leadership that he brought on top of, you know, the stellar play on the field.
Yeah, leader, a guy that's going to make a bunch of tackles, a guy that's been there. Him and Whit Weeks, that's about as experienced as he can get at the linebacker position. And then don't forget a guy like Devon Keyes, who has a bunch of tackles as well at the linebacker position. So that's a position, you know, the two linebacker spots with Devon King and Devon Keyes, that's a position that you feel pretty good about going into as far as how much depth that you have. And Ty Singleton is in that as well. So, but you still, if Whit Weeks and TJ Dottery can really put it all together, I think that's where this defense could take a step forward. We've already seen it make two big strides under Blake Baker in his first two seasons at LSU. But if Dottery and Whit Weeks, if these guys play like, first and second day draft picks, that's going to be really big for this LSU defense. And as we were talking about, some of the concerns along the defensive line, those guys might even factor into it even a little bit more. But it was a huge addition to get him and, obviously, Prince Will Umamiola and from Ole Miss. I mean, that we'll see how this season all shakes out. But if this team does win 10 games, gets into the college football playoff, I think Prince Will and TJ will be a huge part of that and a big reason why this team is successful.
And last one for me, just kind of building on that there, Jeff, because I think the clip that I played for the Sports Flash today where Lane was talking about the rise of athletic quarterbacks in college football, that's really been a plague for Blake Baker's defense in the past couple of years. Is, we all remember Marcel Reed and, the Alabama quarterback a couple of years ago. It just feels like when these guys get let loose, Diego Pavia as well, they just kind of run all over, and there's not much that LSU's defense can really do. But being able to bring down mobile quarterbacks, and that's something that Lane really highlighted with specifically Prince Will Umamielen coming off the edge, is not just getting the pressure, but being able to finish off the plays and get the quarterback to the ground where they're not extending plays with their legs, either running out of the pocket and throwing downfield or even escaping the pocket and running downfield. So just your thoughts on that kind of aspect of, Prince Will's game that can really help LSU in an area that they've been deficient in defensively the past couple of years.
Yeah, it's been several years now that LSU's really had, a very good pass rusher. I mean, they've had, some decent seasons from some guys, but this is a legitimate pass rusher. And I would say, when you look at these past 2 years where LSU has struggled with the mobile quarterback, I would say a big part of it was because two of your more athletic players were injured. I mean, Harold Perkins was hurt in 2024. Whit Weeks was hurt in 2025. I think that really contributed to the problems that LSU, they just didn't have enough, I think especially last year, they just didn't have enough dominant guys on that defensive line to potentially, control a mobile quarterback. And, those are good players too. I mean, Marcel Reed I think he's one of the best athletes in college football, and Diego Pavia was a freak. So those guys had some big games against other teams as well, but they obviously really burned LSU. So, keeping Prince Will healthy, keeping Will Whit Weeks healthy, keeping a Ty Benefield healthy. I think, those three guys, I don't know if they can afford to lose, or really even anybody, one of these starting cornerbacks too, and B.J. Woodland and D.J. Pickett. I think these two guys are going to be really good corners. Are they going to be as good as Mansoor Delane last season? Probably not, but P.J. Woodland is a more than a serviceable cornerback, and D.J. Pickett should be, at this time next year, we're probably thinking about him being a potential first-round pick as he goes into his junior season, and he should start making those strides as a guy that could be a bit of a playmaker and someone that can shut off one side of the field. So they're going to need their stars to play big this season because there's, at the moment, there's not a ton of depth here. And so these guys got to stay healthy and they got to play well. And if they do, I think LSU really will have a good defense, and we'll see if they'll be able to slow down that mobile quarterback this season.
Great info on LSU football, Jeff. Always appreciate the time. Thanks so much for joining us here on WWO Radio tonight.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure talking with you. Stay cool, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks,
for sure. Jeff Palermo, Louisiana Radio Network News and Sports Director, joining us. Also host of the Tiger Rag Radio.